It's Tuesday, October 11th, and welcome to the studio of Grace Christian Radio. It's This and That, and I am your host, Pastor David Ripley. And it's good to have our producer, Adam Sumbler, with us tonight.
Afternoon.
Well, Adam, I think the first thing we need to talk about is the weather.
The weather. It's getting colder.
It is getting colder, but we've had some of the nicest weather, the nicest fall weather that I can remember here in Creston. I've been here 5 years, Adam. Yeah. The beginning of October, it'll be 5 years. And this has got to be a beautiful, I would have to describe it as a wondrous fall time. Sunny,
yep.
Warm temperatures.
Yeah.
Very cool in the morning,
very
but then
cool.
It warms up to around 20 Celsius, and I was watching my wife today as she was busily working around the yard, as I was preparing this and that, and she was doing a little bit of painting and so on and so forth, and yesterday we did a few more little projects around the house, and it's so pleasant.
It is.
It is pleasant, but you said you were up to
up to
Thompson Mountain.
I was up
today.
On Thompson Mountain, and it was 3 degrees with a huge wind. Today in Creston on the ground floor, it was amazing. When I was up on that mountain, up on a tower, it was like windy, like wind tunnel windy.
And now, did you have your winter jacket on?
Yes, I had my winter jacket, sweater, and a t-shirt on, and I wish I would have had my snow pants. It was cold.
Wow. Now, when does snow usually hit Thompson Mountain?
Pretty much any time. In the next week or two, we'll get a skiff of snow up there. And then, you know, if we get nice falls like this where it's 20 during the day, the sun will melt it and then it'll come back a little bit. But this is anytime we'll start getting a little bit of snow on the peaks here.
Now, I'm kind of curious because I remember, you know, September, October, sometimes we used to get a lot of rain.
Yeah.
And now this has been quite a while. We haven't had any substantial rain.
Did you see the fire in the States?
No.
Oh, so there's that fire over in the States, just to the south of us, and up on Thompson Mountain, you see it amazingly. The fire goes across 4 peaks in the United States.
Wow.
It's about 2 peaks now away from Canada. It's just been traveling over the mountain peaks.
Wow.
It's a huge fire. My coworker looked it up when we were driving up the mountain today. It is 21,000 acres.
In Idaho.
Yeah.
And so how far would it be from Creston?
It's still got some distance to go. It's still got quite a bit of distance to go. I don't know off the top of my head, but.
Well, you know, when I was coming back from the Yak Bible study, we started Bible studies in Yak once a month on Thursday nights.
Right,
and as we were traveling back, I saw fire.
Yes.
It was on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was a kind of alarming because I thought, you know, this is close. Now, the fire department was there within minutes, and they were able to put it out with the help, I think, of others. But, you know, I thought to myself, hey, listen, you know, anything can happen at any time.
Absolutely.
And with these dry conditions, the fire can just move, although the cool mornings must help.
It does. I think those big fires like down in the States, I mean, they're so hot, if we got rain for like 3 weeks straight, it'd put the fire out, but it'd still be smoldering under like the under the ground, and it would stay hot probably for about 4 or 5 months. It takes a lot of time.
Well, the weather for tomorrow, October the 12th, sunny, completely sunny, and a high of 21.
Another beautiful day.
Another beautiful day. Well, we're going to begin tonight by talking about vaccine mandates. And the vaccine mandates fuel military recruiting crisis in the States. Coast Guard lifesaver. One of the gentlemen, and I watched this on Tucker Carlson.
Okay.
One of the gentlemen that was involved in many of the rescues after Hurricane Ian.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the devastation
down in Florida. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It is really heartbreaking to see how many people have lost their homes.
Yeah.
I mean, just entire rows of homes just wiped off the map, literally.
Right, yeah.
And this gentleman, of course, was part of the Coast Guard, and he was instrumental in saving people, those that had to go to the top of their house, yeah, the roof, and get airlifted out. I believe he even got a call from the President of the United States thanking him for his efforts.
Right.
You know what? He's going to lose his job because he's not vaccinated.
Wow.
He's going to lose his job for objecting to the vaccine. You know, this is someone that has been saving lives,
yeah,
gets a call from the President thanking him for his efforts, and yet, even though he's done all these heroic things,
yeah,
he is in line to lose his job, Adam, simply because he has chosen not to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to me, it's craziness, especially this far ahead in the so-called pandemic, people are still losing their jobs.
Yeah. I thought the pandemic's over. In the
well, that's what the President said a few weeks ago. He said the pandemic is over.
But we'll still fire you if you don't get a job.
If you don't get double vaxxed, you're out. And we're going to keep the Canadians out at the border as well that are not vaccinated because, you know, the pandemic is over. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. You know what else doesn't make any sense, Adam?
Tell me.
Amid the ambulance shortage here in BC,
right,
unvaccinated BC medics say they want to get back to work.
Yep.
They're willing to come back, even though they've been treated horribly.
Yep.
And they've lost their job. They're willing to come back amid an ambulance shortage.
Yeah.
But the government still says no.
Nope. Got to stick to it. Got to stick to their guns, I guess. It's terrible.
It's just frustrating. It's frustrating thinking about the fact that people are still unemployed.
Yeah.
Unemployed nurses, unemployed medics,
yep,
all other areas of the hospital. Unemployed, fired, don't come back. We don't need you unless you get vaccinated. And yet we're in this shortage and we still hold the ground on this. It makes absolutely no sense at all.
We'd rather shut down hospitals,
exactly,
instead of bring back nurses.
Now, here's some interesting news out of Tallahassee, Florida. October the 9th, 2022.
Okay.
Yes. Looking at
2 days ago.
That's right, 2 days ago. On October the 7th, Florida State Surgeon General Dr. Joseph A. Latabo, I want to say that right now, Ladapo, announced new guidance regarding mRNA vaccines following an analysis through a self-controlled case series conducted by the Florida Department of Health that showed an 84% increase in the relative incidence of cardiac-related death among males 18 to 39 years old within 28 days following an mRNA COVID-19 vaccination.
Wow.
Now, this is not coming from some fringe group.
Right, yeah.
Okay, if you want to call it that, some fringe group. This is coming from the State Surgeon General of Florida.
Wow. Or was it, yeah.
Florida.
Florida, okay, yep.
Tallahassee being where he is situated.
Mm.
And it's almost unbelievable, and I have to pinch myself, Adam, because how many people have been preaching this to dull ears, saying that the vaccine in some cases actually does more harm than good?
Yeah, absolutely.
And here we have someone from the state of Florida saying that males 18 to 39 are in jeopardy of death,
yep,
right? Death,
yep,
within 28 days following an mRNA COVID-19 vaccination.
That's crazy.
You know, you kind of wonder, you know, what's going on. And you know, we've tried to be as balanced as possible on this program. But you know what? We have been saying this. We have been preaching this. We have been talking to people about this, that, you know what? In some instances, the COVID the mRNA COVID vaccination has actually had a negative impact in many people's lives.
Yeah.
It really has. And it's like, you know, there's this great cover-up, but we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. But here we have an instance where it's coming out.
Right.
It's coming out in stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, right here at Grace Christian Fellowship, we are going to have two doctors, and they are going to be talking about vaccine injuries. The people that have been injured by taking some of these vaccines, they're going to be talking about that, and they are going to have individuals right here at the church that are going to be sharing what happened to them. And so we're looking forward to that. That's going to be on October the 20th, right here at Grace Christian Fellowship.
And what time is
7 o'clock in the evening. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. And so, you know what? This is kind of the right time for this to come out, for these doctors to show up and share a little bit about what's happened to people, because, you know, there hasn't really been a lot of media attention given to this. And so, you know, this is going to be an opportunity for these two doctors. Do you have their names there?
I was just looking at it. Just give me 2 seconds. It is, and sorry for the pronunciation, it's Dr. Charles Hoff.
Yep.
And Dr. Stephen
Malthouse.
Yep.
Yes. Hoff and Malthouse are going to be here to talk about vaccine injuries and what vaccinated people can do to help themselves in the midst of this situation and circumstance. You know, we don't know. Some things are instant. Some things take time. Some things take a lot of time before things begin to come to the surface. Anyway, when I heard this and listening to it on the TV, I was kind of shocked, but on the other hand, I wasn't. If you can have those two kinds of emotions at the same time.
You can.
Right? But I thought it was very interesting. Here's another story, I think, that is emerging, especially here in Canada. The Quebec College of Physicians is being slammed by an advocacy group for suggesting that it be legal to euthanize severely ill newborns.
Really?
The Quebec College of Physicians is being slammed for suggesting that it be legal to euthanize severely ill newborns.
What's severely ill? What's the definition?
I don't know. Like, I mean, what is the definition of severely
ill? Because your definition of severely ill would be different than my definition of severely ill, which would be different than Jane's down the road.
Of course. Now, we've talked about this. We've talked about this on this program that, you know, they're really pushing euthanasia among the elderly.
Right.
Among the disabled. And now we're talking about children.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's very, very alarming. And, you know, when these things come out, it's usually only the tip of the iceberg.
Right, correct, yeah.
You know, when we start talking about issues that come out, you know, we give articles, we talk about them, you know, we bring them to everyone's attention.
Yeah.
It's only the tip of the iceberg.
Correct, yeah.
What are people really thinking? you know, what are people really up to? You know, if someone is not helping or being productive in society, well, you know, why don't we just get rid of them? You know, this sounds so, familiar to something else that happened back, you know, in the 1940s. You know, the Nazi regime, you know, if people weren't productive or they were of a certain thinking or whatever, you know, just get rid of them.
Put them in a camp.
Yeah, put them in the camp or just get rid of them. You know, it's really, it makes you want to think, what's happening in Canada?
Are we digressing?
I think we're digressing a lot. I think we're moving down a road of destruction. When you start talking about these kinds of things, this is a story that just has, just has come out in the last couple of days, and you know, it just makes you kind of wonder, you know, what's going on.
You think some people would open up a history book once in a while and see what the past has brought us, or even better yet, open up the Bible and see what God has to say.
You know, I think about. Think about my own niece.
Yeah.
And she was severely injured in an accident.
Yeah.
You know, you see her at the church here in a wheelchair. She was severely injured in that accident. And you kind of think, well, you know, are those the kind of people they're talking about? Because what a joy my niece is. Her name is Jessica. What a joy she is to us. To the church people, she listens to the music, she listens to the radio station, and, you know, when she was in that accident, just as a little baby, you know, I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this, this story. Would it apply to her?
And I think, like, the impact that she had on so many, that she's having on so many people's lives.
That's right.
Right? You know, we're not ones to judge what people's impacts will be on each other's lives, whether it's good or bad or great. You know, that's God's decision to decide, you know, how he's going to use each individual person and what they're capable of.
Exactly.
And we don't know. So to remove somebody from this world, not knowing what they'll produce for others, is a terrible thing.
It is. Well, let's move to the town of Creston.
Election time's coming.
Election time is coming. Before we get into that, though, there's been some violence take place in Creston. And you and I, we've talked about this. It seems to be increasing. On the 320 block of 4th Avenue North, the Creston RCMP responded to an axe attack.
An axe?
An axe attack. A man was attacked by another man with an axe.
Wow.
The suspect fled the area and the victim was transported to hospital. The suspect has been identified and charges are being forwarded.
That's good that he was caught and arrested, I guess. And
absolutely. Yeah. But you can see that these things are happening. You know, I mean, banks being robbed, people being murdered. Axe attacks.
I'll tell you this. When I was in Calgary, last weekend, and my sister asked me before I left, what vehicle are you driving? And I was like, oh, we're going to take the car. She's like, okay, good. Because in Calgary right now, people are stealing trucks, Cadillac converters.
Wow.
Right? Like, because it takes like 30 seconds to cut one out of the bottom of a car.
Big ticket item.
And then they sell them. And right now, my sister had a friend who their Cadillac converter was stolen from underneath their car. And guess how long it is to have to wait for a new one?
How long?
A year.
So your car's useless.
10 to 12 months.
So your car's useless to you.
Well, you can put a straight pipe in and then it's really loud and stuff like that. It's not as fuel efficient. There's some things that it's not as good. But yeah, essentially, you're in a bad spot.
In a very bad spot.
But crime, yeah, it's going up everywhere.
Let's talk about the election coming up this week, Saturday.
Yeah.
The 15th of October is election day.
It is.
It is election day, Adam. Right here in the town of Creston and the outskirts.
Yeah.
It's time to vote for a new mayor.
It is. Ron Tyota has decided not to put his ballot in again.
No, he's not going to run.
Yeah.
He's not running.
Stepping away.
He's stepping away, so we're going to have a new mayor.
Yeah.
A new mayor for the town of Creston. And maybe even new councillors.
Yep.
for the town of Creston. And if we ever needed to pray for our community, it's now that the right person would be elected. But, you know, as I've been thinking about the election and doing a little bit of reading about the election right here in Creston, some things have come to my attention that are very alarming.
Which one?
Well, one of them is from one of our current Creston Town Council members. His name is Keith Baldwin. I've never met the gentleman, but his name is Keith Baldwin. And on his Facebook page, he's made some derogatory comments towards some others who are running, either for mayor or council.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I want to just talk about that tonight, because I think it's worth talking about. And from his Facebook, let me just read it verbatim, word for word. This is what he says, Keith Baldwin. "We are unfortunately facing a few antagonistic, shrill, and attention-seeking individuals with untrustworthy agendas focusing on disruption and, in some cases, spewing venomous, abusive nonsense currently running for local office."
He didn't mention any names.
Oh, he did.
Oh, did he?
He did mention names. Mm. If you scroll down on his Facebook page, he mentions, he has the list right there, who you should vote for and who you shouldn't vote for.
Wow.
Now, I've been involved in politics in many situations, federally, provincially, municipally, in large towns, large cities, and I've never seen this before.
I mean, that's
where someone is being attacked.
Yeah, it's borderline slander without evidence.
Yeah, it's borderline slander. I don't know who this guy is.
I don't know. I've never heard of him either.
You know, he says in his Facebook page that he's double vaxxed. And, you know, someone needs to go down there where he lives and give him a medal because he's been double vaxxed. And he calls himself part of Team Creston. That we've got to keep the team together because, you know, if the team is not together, it cannot continue to move Creston forward into the future.
I mean, it sounds like somebody who is trying to manipulate votes with using not any actual factual things.
No, right. I have to continue. I'm not finished.
All right, let's continue.
Yeah. He says, "See the list of apparent puppet candidates."
Puppets, eh?
"As evidenced by their nominators and identical signs with recent history of major funding by a disgruntled businessman. Send in the clones to flood the vote," he says, question mark, and a couple of periods, and
So
who is this guy?
You're telling me.
Who is this guy?
You're telling me that he, in his mind, he believes that a businessman in town, and I have an idea who he's talking about, but I'm not going to say any names, is trying to fund other town council people to council in his place?
Apparently, that seems to be what he's saying here. He says, and let me finish, "I am confident that all sensible voters will dismiss these unqualified triflers entirely."
Wow.
"Reasonably informed citizens will always recognize the critical value of a municipal team that works together pleasantly and professionally, building on Creston's positive reputation and desirability."
See, something
end of quote.
Something like that just makes me want to not vote for somebody. Instantly.
Yeah, I mean,
instantly.
Who is this Keith Baldwin? Like, I mean, he says he's part of town council. You know, he's working together. And you know what I'm hearing about this fire hall?
Yeah.
This is what I'm hearing about this fire hall. The cost is going up, 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 up. No, I'm concerned about that, Adam. You know why I'm concerned about
that? It's your tax money.
Because I live in Creston.
Yeah. Yeah,
I live in Creston, and I own a home in Creston, and my taxes are going up, up every year.
Yep.
Now, from what I can see, now correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but I have an idea that fire hall has gone up to $9.4 million, and it's still not opened.
Yeah.
It's still not opened, Adam.
Yeah, and I don't have any real facts. I know it's out there if you go to the Crest website and follow the budget for the town hall. But to my knowledge, I think it's 3 times over its original budget right now.
Probably.
It's probably more, but I don't know. I'm just being safe because I don't know the exact numbers. But from what I've heard, it's way over budget.
Yeah.
And it's still not done.
No, it's not done yet. They don't have the clearance yet to open it up. Because there's still a lot of things, you know, small things or maybe big things that need to be yet completed.
Why don't they have an opening ceremony then?
They did. They did have an open ceremony.
But it's not open yet.
But they had an opening ceremony. They had an opening ceremony. I mean, you know, anybody can have an opening ceremony. It doesn't have to be literally opened to have an open ceremony. And they brought in the Masons.
They did, yes.
They brought in the Masons, and they I don't know exactly what the Masons did, but they
there
did some sort of tradition in regard to the cornerstone. Yeah. I'm not going to say yay or nay about the Masons tonight. That's another story. That's another show. But they did the opening ceremony. Yeah. They did all of that, but it's still not opened.
And more work to be done.
More work to be done. But you know, somebody so like sad. This, to me, is not, in my opinion, is not worthy of the town council.
No.
I mean, people who vote for this guy, something's wrong with them. Because why would you vote for a guy that is using this kind of vocabulary, using this kind of speech against other people who just happen to be putting their name in?
Yeah.
Listen, let it be about the facts. Let it be about what you're putting forward for the town to make it better. And let everybody listen to whatever their platform is and make their own choice. Why do we have to go around, tearing people down and doing it publicly?
Yeah, I agree.
Doing it publicly, Adam.
Without facts.
Without any facts, really. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like conjecture to me.
It does, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like conjecture. Now, if you follow his Facebook page down farther, you'll see the list of candidates he's talking about.
So sad.
He's talking about some of those candidates. And, I don't know why this is happening, but I would hope, Adam, that our former mayor, Ron Tyota, if he really believes in integrity, would stand up and say, you know what, this is not proper.
Yeah, I agree.
It's to put not proper. This kind of stuff on somebody's Facebook page that's running for council.
Yeah, yeah.
It really bothers me that we've come to this.
Yeah,
we've really come to this. We need to be praying for our town. You know, there's a lot of things happening.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things taking place in our town, and I think it's bothering a lot of people.
Yeah,
and so we are praying. In fact, this week on Saturday, we're having a day of fasting in prayer.
Right. Yep.
And we're going to be praying in the morning, at noon, in the evening. We're going to be praying for our town.
That's awesome.
We need to be praying, and we need to be asking God that this town will be touched by God himself.
Yes. Yep.
And so that's what we're doing. But, when I read this, I was really disappointed.
It's so disheartening, right? In a small town like Creston, you would think, your Facebook, if you're running for council, would be about, like, what am I going to do for Creston?
Exactly.
What changes would I like to see? How would I make Creston a more attractable place?
Yeah, and some of those things were in his Facebook post.
Yeah.
Some of those platform things were in his Facebook post. But then just leave it at that. Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
You don't need to attack anybody.
No.
You don't need to use this kind of language against other people that are running. Let them run, and everyone gets an opportunity to choose who they want based on the platforms that are put out.
Exactly,
right?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, it hurts people too, right?
Absolutely, it does.
And it kind of discourages others who would maybe want to run.
Correct, yeah.
So, anyway, as we always do on this program, I'm going to end with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And we can see that from coast to coast to coast, this country needs a touch from the Lord.
It does.
It needs a revival. It needs a mighty revival that can only come from the Holy Spirit. But this is a very familiar portion of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We all know this particular verse. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful, and yet it is so true. Every aspect of this verse is so true. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord, that we can come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we're just praying for this town of Creston, this beautiful valley, that you will minister to hearts and lives in the name of Jesus. From one part of the valley to the other part, Lord, every aspect, every square inch of this town, Lord, let it be immersed in the presence and the power of God. Let people turn to you, Lord. Let them turn to you fully and completely in Jesus' mighty name. We pray over this election happening, not only in the town, but outside of the town, that the right people, the people that you want, Lord, would be in those positions of authority. So, Father, we just cover this election coming up on October the 15th. We cover it in prayer. And, Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is Pastor David Ripley, believe it or not, signing off. Have a blessed evening.